Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to this episode of Now Hear This, Canby. I am your host, James Walton. Let's read the news. Rarely in the past 15 months has news from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention brought joy. But that was not the case last week when health authorities announced fully vaccinated individuals could safely go unmasked in most indoor and outdoor settings. Oregon Governor Kate Brown quickly jumped in line with the CDC, saying that the state would no longer require fully vaccinated people to cover their faces, with a few exceptions such as hospitals, long-term care facilities, and public transit. For the majority of Americans who have either received their full series of shots or plan to, it was the biggest signal yet of an end to the months-long pandemic that has rewritten virtually every aspect of daily life and signals a return to normalcy. Even for the approximately 15% of the population who say they will never take the vaccine, the news was well received by many because they appear to assume, incorrectly, that businesses cannot ask individuals to voluntarily confirm their vaccination status or, correctly in many cases, would simply prefer not to. Although saying the new guidelines would take effect immediately, Brown did not explain last week exactly how businesses were expected to handle the question of verifying which customers were fully vaccinated and could safely enter unmasked. This updated guidance from the Oregon Health Authority came Tuesday, saying that fully vaccinated people may ditch the masks only in public settings, businesses, and venues where vaccination status is checked. In public spaces where vaccination status is not checked, masks will still be required. Businesses and venue operators are free to establish their own more restrictive policies regarding mask usage, the OHA added. While one's vaccination status and the CDC's cards given to immunized people to verify this are considered private health information, this particular interaction is not prohibited by the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. HIPAA only applies to health providers, hospitals, and insurers, preventing them from sharing your information without your consent. It does not prohibit you from voluntarily disclosing information such as immunization records to gain entry to a venue, business, or indeed certain colleges, countries, or public schools, as has been done for decades. But for business owners and employees who have been on the front lines of policing ever-changing mask use and social distancing guidelines for months, the new guidance makes an already difficult situation even more challenging. These perils were underscored this week by the experience of Enchanted Forest, a beloved family-owned theme park near Salem. Park owners had to quickly walk back their reopening announcement after their plans to require masks, except for those who would agree to verify their vaccination status, drew hundreds of irate comments and even threats. Half of the incumbents are leading in early election results for the Canby School Board Tuesday night, with two challengers currently ahead. Incumbent Tom Scott was ahead for his bid for a fourth term over newcomer Olga Jimenez in early results, 67% to 33%, with about half of the ballots tallied. incumbent Sarah Magenheimer, who was also leading challenger Stephanie Smith by a comfortable margin, 63% to 37%. Challengers Shelley Vissers and Sherry Smith were leading in early returns, though the results were closer. Vissers led current chair board Angie Dilkey's 58 to 41%, a difference of about 600 votes, and Smith was ahead of two-term incumbent Mike Zagava, 53 to 46%, a split of fewer than 200 votes. It is an honor serving our community as a Canby school board director, Magenheimer told the Canby Current. I remain committed to work with dedication, compassion, and collaboration for the success of all of our students. Magenheimer said this is a critical time in the district and vows she is ready to continue her work to transition students back to a full-time in-person learning, address these student gaps created by the last year, and support a new superintendent and work to implement the school bond voters approved last year. I am passionate about continuing to work together with our community to create an engaging, rigorous, and well-rounded academic experience for our students, she said. Most other candidates were not ready to claim victory or admit defeat based on the early returns. I am waiting to see the final results, said Vissers. I am humbled by the vote so far. I appreciate the votes that I have received. I appreciate the community support so far, agreed Scott. I am sure more votes are still to be counted. Zagava and Jimenez also said they would withhold comment until the final results were in. At this time, I would like to refrain from any comments since the results are still early, Sherry Smith said in an email to The Current on Wednesday morning. She shared a similar message on her campaign Facebook page saying that while the results were not final, things were looking good. In other contests, Deb Barnes was leading incumbent Don Deppner, 74 to 25%, a difference of only about 60 votes in the much smaller Aurora Fire Rural Protection District. James Brown, 71%, and Jay Cross, 65%, led in contested races for the Clackamas Fire Board positions. All Canby Fire Board seats were uncontested, with incumbent Steve Thurlman and Connie Austin winning easily. The five-year public safety levy renewal and increase proposed for the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office also appeared to be winning in early returns on Tuesday night, with about 56% of voters in favor. That represents a gap of more than 4,000 results in the countywide poll, and that result seems to likely to hold even in later returns. Voters first passed the levy in 2006 and have approved it every 5 years since. But this year, new Clackamas County Sheriff Angela Brandenburg has also asked to raise the tax rate by 12 cents, up to 36.8 cents per $1,000 of assessed value. That translates to a cost of approximately $98.26 per year on a home with an assessed value of $267,000, which, by the way, is the median assessed value of a home in Clackamas County. With the increase, the levy is estimated to raise $22 to $25 million each year, which would go towards maintaining deputy positions and jail beds, opening up 26 mental health and medical jail beds, adding two internal affairs investigators, and implementing a new body-worn camera program. Finally, Chantel Harney, Dick Dowdy, and Ryan Nelson appear to be voters' write-in choices for open seats on the board of directors for the Canby Area Park and Recreation District. The CAPERD is an unfunded district approximately the size of the Canby School District that has repeatedly failed in its effort to pass a tax base to support its operations and the development of new parks and recreational opportunities. As ever, the write-in campaigns attracted some humorous submissions. Clackamas County does not typically share write-in results in races with filed candidates unless a particular write-in candidate captures a significant portion of the votes. But CAPERD's three races had no filers this year. Per county election laws, Harney, Dowdy, and Nelson will have the option to accept or reject the voter's choice, assuming they meet the qualifications for the position. If they decline, other write-in candidates that may be in the running include Alice Cooper, former Presidents Barack Obama and Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un, Donald Duck, Captain Hickey, Bill Nye, Pooney Toots, Liz Cheney, Johnny Cash, Bay Arthur, Tig Biddies, Angela, no last name given, and Snoop Dogg, though it's unclear if they would meet the criteria as well. A logger was hospitalized with serious injuries Monday after nearly three dozen local firefighters and first responders worked about 7 hours to rescue them in a remote wilderness area east of Balala. The Balala Fire District says reports came in Monday morning of an injured logger in the Williams Lake area, which was heavily damaged by last year's devastating wildfires. Crews eventually determined the injured logger was located approximately 1 mile into a deep ravine. Balala Fire District crews, along with fellow loggers and warehouser employees, hiked about an hour through the heavy tree fall to make contact with the injured logger and provide medical treatment. With the assistance of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, Clackamas County Search and Rescue, Canby Fire District, Colton Rural Fire Protection District, Mountain Rescue Team, Clackamas Search and Rescue, and a Life Flight Network helicopter, crews were able to maintain and safely extricate the injured logger from the bottom of the ravine and up the mountain. The logger was then transported by a Life Flight helicopter to an area trauma hospital with what appeared to be serious injuries. A suspect has been indicted in the May 8th shooting on Highway 213 in Oregon City that left an officer injured and in need of surgery. Gerald Leroy Barnes II, 48, of Portland, faces three counts of attempted aggravated murder and other charges in connection with the high-speed police chase and shooting incident in which he was also injured. Police say the chase began in Molino shortly before 7 p.m. on Saturday, May 8th, when Clackamas County Sheriff's Deputy Robert Cordova attempted a traffic stop on a 1985 Chevrolet Monte Carlo, driven by Barnes. Barnes was reportedly driving 16 miles over the posted speed limit of 35 miles an hour. The deputy caught up with Barnes' vehicle several miles to the north, then activated his emergency lights to initiate a traffic stop on Highway 213. Allegedly, Barnes refused to pull over and stop, instead fleeing north towards Leland Road, where Deputy Cordova advised dispatch he was in pursuit. Oregon City police officers responded to assist, staging spike strips ahead of the pursuit at Highway 213 and Redland Road. As Barnes approached the officers in spike strips, police alleged the suspect opened fire with a custom pistol and a high-capacity single-drum magazine. Investigators say Barnes fired several shots into the vehicle and passenger side window of Oregon City officer Christopher Brosseau, with a fragment from one bullet hitting Brosseau in the eye. Citizens, officers, troopers, and deputies rendered aid to Brosseau as the pursuit continued. Officer Brosseau was later taken to a local hospital where he underwent surgery. The pursuit continued approximately another eighth of a mile, with the suspect slowing to about 30 miles an hour and weaving toward an on-ramp to Interstate 205 northbound. Barnes allegedly continued to fire at pursuing deputies, with one bullet striking the patrol car of Clackamas County Sheriff's Deputy Jonathan Zakarqui. Barnes stopped his vehicle at the on-ramp and emerged, with deputies stopping several car lengths away and returning fire. Barnes was struck in the shoulder by a single bullet and dropped his gun on the ground. Deputies then stopped firing and took him into custody without further incident, according to a joint release from the Milwaukee and Oregon City Police and the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. Deputies treated Barnes' shoulder injury until American Medical Response paramedics arrived and took over care. AMR transported Barnes to an area hospital for treatment. Detectives with the Clackamas County Major Crimes Team responded to the scene to process the scene, gather evidence, and conduct witness interviews. Investigators recovered two additional loaded firearms from the vehicle, as well as a high-capacity two-drum magazine. Barnes' shoulder injury was non-life-threatening, and he was released from the hospital that same evening to investigators. Milwaukee and Oregon City Police detectives assigned to the Clackamas County Major Crimes Team interviewed Barnes and transported him to the Clackamas County Jail, where he was booked on numerous charges. Bail was set at $1 million, and he was indicted to the grand jury on Monday, May 17th. Officer Brosseau will likely undergo more than one surgery before the long-term prognosis of his eye is known, Oregon City Police reported last week. Authorities said the prognosis is unclear whether Brosseau would recover his vision in that eye. And that'll do it for the news on this episode of Now Here This Can Be. As always, thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, Tyler, I was reading an article the other day, and I saw that 53% of Americans say they value technology even more since the COVID outbreak.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that article in Obvious News Weekly.
Okay, you don't have to be mean.
Seriously, though, it is true. I know that I can't function anymore without all of my connected devices. And I heard that DirectLink saw a huge spike in internet traffic after the stay-at-home order began last year.
Yeah, it's a good thing DirectLink works hard to provide constant, reliable broadband service even during tough weather, peak use hours, and that big jump in increased demand.
Right, and we need access to a quality connection more than ever. We're working from home, the kids are still distance learning, and I've even had a few online doctor's appointments.
Yeah, not only that, but so many of our entertainment options have gone virtual. They're streaming TV shows and movies, Zoom game nights, and online gaming, so people really need reliable internet.
Wait. With all of that extra online activity going on, don't we have to worry about usage limits and high bills from using too much data?
Come on, Tyler. How many times have we been over this? DirectLink doesn't have data caps and doesn't charge extra fees for high usage. It says so right there on their website. Visit directlink.coop today to learn more. Many years ago, there was a thing called theater and live music. Legends tell us of this. And actually, it is coming back here at Canby High School. We are going to be doing a real production with maybe some modifications in place, but theater is finally back, and we are actually here with some of the cast members of the upcoming production of We Will Rock You. Why don't you guys go around and tell us your names. We'll start over here, and who you're playing in the show.
Yeah, hi, my name's Tate Driver. I'm a senior here at Canby High School, and I am playing Galileo Figaro.
That's quite the name. Welcome, Tate. Yes.
Hello. My name
Welcome
is
back.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm glad to be back. My name is Meridian Laddick. I use they/them pronouns. I'm a senior at Canby High School, and I'm going to be portraying Scaramouche.
Awesome. Welcome, Meridian.
I am Tyson Driver. I'm a freshman here at Canby, and I will be playing Khashoggi.
Hi, Tyson.
Hello, I'm also a freshman. My name is Brianna Voss, and I'm going to be Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, cool. Been working on that accent, have you?
Yeah.
I have to wait and see. Well, let's start with the seniors. Feel free to you guys so much. Almost there. You made it through the craziest time that anyone's ever had. How does it feel? I know you have done theater in the past. How does it feel to kind of be back?
Yeah, it's real interesting. It's been definitely a lot of patience and grace to be dealing with ever-changing protocols and stuff like that.
Or whether it can even happen.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. But staying motivated and staying dedicated and having fun the entire time. And we're definitely gonna put on the best show that we have the ability to do.
You don't have any excuses, right? You've had all the time in the world.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
What about you, Marnie?
Well, both Tate and I are in concert choir, cantilenas at the high school, and in theater, so a lot of our downtime is usually spent in this building. So it's been very strange, the whole Zoom life with school and with theater and everything. So I'm just really, like Tate said, I'm really grateful and just there is so much patience involved with having to not be practicing at all for a while. So I'm just really glad that we have a production, and it's just been such a euphoric feeling to just step on stage and be in the same world that I've been familiar with for my 4 years.
Yeah. So how did you stay motivated? Kind of, you mentioned, Tate, that you were still able to find ways to have fun. Where does that come from? I need to know for me.
Yeah.
Have the resiliency.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly an extrovert. So being able to actually be with other people has been such a blessing. Even as we're distant, even as we're in masks, feeding off other people's energy and getting to sing and run A production together is well enough motivation for me.
Yeah, I bet.
We were very fortunate to be able to have the opportunity to have an online show, Cinnamon Bear, if you remember.
Right.
But nothing really beats being able to be in person and really interact with all of your actors and technicians that are involved. I know that, again, back to the choir thing, we were very blessed to have such good administration and a teacher, Brooks, who was willing to put in the effort to make things entertaining for us while we were online. So I feel like I can owe a lot of the quarantine entertainment to him. But otherwise, it was just a lot of like, ooh, let's memorize a random monologue and hope that I get to use it someday.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys as well. I mean, like the teachers and the administrators can only do so much, but it's also ultimately falls to you guys to kind of meet them where they're at and engage or just be like, you know, forget this. So,
absolutely.
Way to you guys for leaning in. Okay, to the freshmen over here, finally let you guys talk, right? First of all, just welcome to high school. What is high school like in this environment for first years?
It's definitely very interesting because this whole year it's kind of
not what you were anticipating.
Yeah, definitely. It's been sort of like a progression from middle school because we started on the Zoom classes, now half days and now full days.
Right.
It just feels like, oh, we're finally in the high school. I definitely think our year has not had, our grade has not had like the chance to blend with the other grades as much as maybe past years have. Because I could definitely tell with doing some online theater, you just gotta kind of know the dynamics. You just, you gotta grow into it, and we just didn't, we were very separate the different years. So we've been, now that I'm finally in person full days, I've been able to really get good at the social dynamics now.
What about you? Yeah. What's it been like?
Definitely same as Tyson, harder to mix, which is why I'm so grateful for the seniors, you guys in choir and in theater and all that, for just helping us integrate so easily. You guys are super friendly and welcoming. It's just so nice.
And what has the experience been like so far with the theater? Had you done stuff at middle school before?
Both Brianna and me have been in all the middle school plays, and now we are, this is the first show of high school. Interesting.
Right.
There was a sort of Cinnamon Bear was a Zoom thing.
Right.
Then there were a couple one acts directed by the seniors.
Right.
And certain ones were in person. So it, again, like with school, was just kind of a progression up to the regular show.
Right, in phases, sort of.
Yeah.
I will say that high school shows are definitely a step up. You have a lot more responsibility.
For middle schools, you know?
Yeah, definitely. We have shorter time to get everything done, but somehow we're getting it there.
Yeah.
And it's super fun.
Yeah, awesome.
There's also a lot more prop building.
And sets and all that, costumes. Yeah, they go a little bit bigger with everything. Well, I'd love to hear from you guys again. Tell us a little bit about the show. I'm sure everybody's dying to hear it. Like, I want to hear about the show. So.
Yeah, well, the name of our production is We Will Rock You. It is filled to the brim with Queen music, and it is a lot of rock on stage. The basic plot is in a dystopian future where music no longer exists and is only created by the monotheistic overlord government.
This is amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
The narrator.
Reincarnated dreamer is born who has visions from the past of music that had happened, and we end up singing a lot of Queen.
Yeah. Are we sick of Queen yet? I mean, can we be honest?
Never.
Okay. obviously, like, I mean, it's like classic to the max with your guys' generation. It's classic rock when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, was it music you were familiar with before this to any degree?
Yeah. I am a huge Queen fan. Maybe more than people my age. I got to see Queen in 2019 live when they went to Seattle, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. But I kind of grew up on that music, and I've been singing their songs forever. So it was really, this was kind of one of my dream musicals to do. Yeah. And the fact that we got to do it in a time when we thought that we weren't even going to have a musical is just amazing.
Right. I mean, so the storyline is after the end of the world, some people try to bring live music back. I mean, does this feel a little too on the nose at all?
Oh, yes, yes.
Exactly.
Did anyone, like, raise their hand and, like, can we do something that's more escaping?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. This is not escapism.
So, Renia, what do you like about Queen music so much? What appeals to you about their songs?
Really love musical nuance. Queen just is a musically complicated band. You have Brian May with just incredible guitar riffs most of the time, all the time. But when he's not covering with guitar, you have Freddie with just the best octave range.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the to be real, the reason why I love Queen is because of Freddie. I just something about his showmanship and his general attitude about life really it's inspiring to me. So I've always kind of tried to mimic the performance aspect of his career. Just incredible.
Freshman, what do you guys think of the material that you're working with?
It's definitely very fun. Like there's a lot of like just references to the old classic rock songs. It's just a very fun show to do, especially since there is a lot of the Queen songs in there. I think there are 24 songs in it total. So it's just some I'm familiar with, some I never heard of before the show. It's just very, nice show to do.
And there's just a lot of like sort of references to the larger kind of classic rock scene, other bands, other musicians. And even just ancient technology like televisions and
television.
Video
tape.
Right. Brianna.
Definitely. I think my favorite part of the show is the vocals, just being able to let loose and even yell on stage at times. It's very freeing.
Especially
when you're like stuck in choir and you have to sing classical all the time.
And it's like much more about control and whatnot.
Yeah, you just get to have fun on stage. Yell it out if you want to.
I mean, during quarantine, I've just been spending a lot of time screaming in my house. Usually at my kids and whatnot, so.
That seems right.
Okay, so we're coming up on performances, right? Tell folks what's going on as far as that goes.
Well, May 20th through 22nd and May 27th through 29th are the two weekends. We have, all of our shows are at 7 p.m., which is awesome. We usually kind of have a mix between matinee shows and evening shows, but they're all evening this year. And I am not the most educated person on how we will be able to see it. I know that we will definitely have streaming, and I'm not positive about the
in-person
aspect. So I'm sure the technicians will be able to be more specific about that.
Yeah. And we'll be chatting with some of our crew members here in just a minute. But before we let you guys go, I'd love to hear from maybe each one of you and just what you're excited about or kind of how you're feeling. Hopefully we will have people in the seat, but even if we are doing a lot of streaming, how it'll be, you know, what you're excited about as far as being able to kind of present this work in more or less a normal fashion, and kind of come back to that.
Yeah, I am so excited for some sense of normalcy and being able to be on stage, certainly. And I'm just so excited for parents and just the audience member to be able to view and have a great time with what we're putting on, because it's definitely a lot of work, and in the end it is gonna come to fruition and be awesome.
Well, this is kind of my last senior hurrah. I was kind of more excited for the opportunity of a musical than I was for graduation, which is weird. But I'm glad that I get to know the underclassmen, before I have to leave. And I'm also really ecstatic to like be able to work with all my senior buddies for one last time.
Yeah.
I think that's super important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, like I've said before, it's a really good musical. I've got a chance to have some really nice scenes because I'm a more villainous character.
Nice.
Get some good songs. I'm also just excited to do first high school show, more responsibility, just a lot of work. And also it's been nice, people may have noticed this during the introductions, I am Tate's brother. It's been nice working with him as well in those scenes. Just a nice overall experience.
Yeah, especially with him not being the villain like he usually is.
Definitely everything that you guys have said, fun, work, all that. But even if we can't have a full house like we used to, I am still glad that we get to stream because now like my grandpa who lives in New Jersey can come see it and your neighbor down the street, you know, everybody, and it'll be really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, last thing here, guys, on three, can you guys give me your best rock and roll scream, especially Brianna, right?
Yeah, Brianna's got it.
Scream, ready? One, two, three.
Woo! Yes!
Nice.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and we're back, as we promised, to talk to some of the crew of We Will Rock You. Why don't you guys also introduce yourselves and tell me your role with the show.
Hello, I'm Itavi Stearns. I am a senior. I use she, her pronouns, and I am the assistant to the director of We Will Rock You, as well as the lighting designer.
Itavi, welcome. Thanks so much. And joining us again.
Yes, hello. My name is Kusto Ladig. I use she, they pronouns. I'm also a senior at Canby High School, and I am the stage manager for this production.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about what each of your roles entail.
As an assistant to the director, I've had the wonderful opportunity to observe and watch the creation of a production.
Yeah.
And to watch from the very beginning to, ooh, what show should we pick, all the way to this beautiful moment where we have actors on stage together.
Yeah.
And we are able to work with the lighting designs and picking gels and instruments. Mm. I love being a part of the creative process. And so having the opportunity to be an assistant to the director as well as a lighting designer allows me to express myself and the vision of our director, of our team, mm-hmm. together on stage. And mm-hmm. so I'm very excited for that.
Absolutely.
So I'm the stage manager, and stage management in essence is also an art form. It isn't like designing costumes or anything like that. I'm not really on the design part of it, mm-hmm. but a stage manager I think of as kind of the conductor, mm-hmm. In like choir or orchestra terms. The stage manager kind of keeps a tempo for the rest of the crew and cast members and makes sure everyone is kind of on the same link. You know, we're all kind of seeing eye to eye. I'm the communication link between the director, the cast, the crew, publicity sometimes. It just, my job kind of varies and it depends on what show I'm doing.
Right.
If I'm doing, like, I did the senior one acts, or I guess I stage managed the one acts in the summer for community theater, that I had to do camera work and stuff like that, switchboard operation. And this time I'm just going to be calling cues from the booth. So calling lights, sound, technician crews, and this time camera cues. So it's like a full on, like performance, like Hamilton on Disney Plus,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. It's not something that I've really done super often, but because of COVID, we
yeah.
are, you know, learning new things, and I think that's awesome.
Right.
But yeah, going back to like my original metaphor, stage management is really, you know, conducting for the performance, and each, you know, element of theater is important. Like if you don't have a soprano, then your choir is not, you're going to be missing an element
right.
of the sound. It's the same thing for theater. If you're missing an actor, I mean, actors in general, you can't have a show.
Yeah.
You really need all parts of that. And I'm kind of the link between every aspect of theater.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad you went there because that was something I kind of wanted to ask you about. I know you both were involved in the one-act plays, the senior one-acts, directing and doing different things. The crew and the technical people behind a show, an in-person traditional show, are so important, right? So crucial,
yeah.
kind of behind the scenes. People forget about them, but I did theater in high school. I know how important that is. In the Zoom environment, that's one thing that kind of gets lost, right? It's hard to kind of, that's one thing that's very difficult and not often not needed. It's very difficult to kind of translate. During the one act, things were a little bit different. I think there was some kind of virtual, some in-person stuff that you did, but just tell me a little bit of, through the different iterations that we've gone through, how you've kind of been stretched or grown or found new ways to sort of grow or use your skills.
Yeah, definitely. Taking on the role as a student director of something new, especially in a Zoom environment
yeah.
where it's all cameras and all audio.
Right.
So you have to work not only with actors and helping actors make bold and creative decisions, but also, you know, Zoom glitches or like, uh-oh, the Zoom meeting died, or, you know,
right.
that good old 45-minute timer. Oops,
right.
your time's
lighting
up.
Never seems so important.
Yes. And so I was very fortunate to have my cast. It was a very small cast of three people, Que Tu Que, a Spanish production.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to meet and film socially distanced in person at mm-hmm. a park. And that was an incredible honor, but definitely Zoom practicing on that. That was so critical, but it gave us this beautiful opportunity that I did not anticipate to connect as a team, to connect, you know, I got to understand and know these underclassmen who I've never seen before,
yeah.
besides working in theaters with them. And that was just something I never anticipated, the heart and finding the soul and connection to our text as well as to each other. And this process, the new process of what does theater look like on Zoom? What does
yeah.
it look like in the digital world?
Yeah,
for sure. It has been a little bit hard with like Cinnamon Bear because people who normally do sound, lights, costumes, things like that, they didn't really have a job.
Right.
So we found ourselves, you know, thinking, what are we going to do with all these extra technicians?
Right.
Right? Like we have so many people who love tech
right.
and they just do not have a job. So for the most part for Cinnamon Bear, we had stage manager, an assistant stage manager, and then, like a couple of sound effects people, and that was it for
yeah.
tech because we really didn't have much else to do.
Right.
One act was the same. We usually don't have much tech for one act anyways because
right.
it's an opportunity for technicians to do a little show,
yeah.
You know, and not have to memorize too many lines. It's like
right.
a good starting show.
Yeah.
So we were so excited when we figured out we were doing a musical because that meant we could actually, you know, use the
Bring
facility.
Everyone back. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had so many, you know, people who were missing from theater because they only do tech.
Yeah.
Like I'm a full-time technician. I just get the opportunity to do stage management, which is always in demand, whether it's production management or stage management for stage or camera.
Right.
So we just have such a beautiful facility, and we got a lot of new like screws and stuff last year for Little Shop, mm-hmm. and we wanted to use that again. So it's been really nice to actually be back. But in terms of adapting, from Zoom or to Zoom, we've had to make a lot of changes with scheduling and stuff like that. And then even just sending out the cast list, we didn't post it on the bulletin board out there. We had to send it via Google Classroom, which has been a constant resource for us. Even us on the officer board, both mm-hmm. of us are on the thespian board.
Oh, cool.
We, have had to adapt mm-hmm. to doing meetings online or signing up for or sending in audition forms online, signing up for time slots online. Mm-hmm. So it's been quite a journey, but I think that we're better off because of it. I think that we've learned a lot, and we can use that stuff if someone's sick, we can do a Zoom rehearsal with them instead, things like that.
What are some of the challenges of the production that you dealt with this show, whether they are specific to just the show or to the COVID environment? I believe the timeline is compressed.
Definitely, we were given a show basically 2 months ago, and so our challenge not only as director, assistant director, stage managing team, and technicians is how can we create our best possible show in 2 months,
right.
the deadline, without any commitment that we will.
We normally have about twice that.
Definitely,
right?
We have just so much time, and so our challenge was how to create the best show with the cast we have, the technicians we have on hand, and for facility under COVID without even the promise of having a live audience. It's crazy because we're going to be working with cameras in a different environment than we are used to performing with an audience reacting. And so one of the challenges we've had to face, I think, is working on how are we able to compress so much acting time in such a limited space of social distancing? How do we do that effectively? And so in the Fine Arts Center, we are all in masks and we are distant, but also it's given us time for actors to practice their projecting, and for technicians to work on more, how do we create more COVID-friendly sets and spaces where if someone's sick, how do we recover from that? And especially for Cousteau working in stage management with scheduling, that's been another issue to cover as well.
Oh yes, that's been quite fun. And I completely agree with everything Itavia said. Pretty much hit spot on with that. It's been a journey. We have had to do things at twice speed because we don't have that much time. We don't have the time that we want, but we have to deal with the time that we have. And we've been adapting to that. And with scheduling, it's been a little bit hard because people have, they're teenagers, we all have our own busy schedules. A lot of us got jobs over the pandemic because we had nothing else to do. Being able to manage those schedules has been a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, trying to figure out what numbers to do on what days because, two people from this number aren't here, but then we don't have anyone from this number. So how are we going to do that? Balancing the time that we need in order to get this show, where we want it to be.
Yeah.
And we've been really hopeful when it comes to doing our show, because we've had a couple of scares where it was if it's extreme, we can't have an audience because we can only have six people.
Right.
But if we're in, whatever high risk or moderate risk or whatever, we can do 100 people, and but it includes cast and crew, so that'll take 30. So we're just dealing with all that kind of stuff. The regulations has been really interesting.
Yeah.
But if we do have in-person seats, which right now it looks like we will, but I'm not going to promise anything.
Right.
But if we do, they will be sold at Cuts for Thriftway.
Okay.
And then each ticket is going to be $10. We're still going to be streaming regardless of what happens, and we're going to be streaming each night separately, so it will be six nights of performances.
Awesome.
And that's going to be fun because Like, we do certain traditions that every, you know, 6 days of our performance, like, we do our secret pals where everyone, like, gets each other little gifts, like a white elephant, and things like that, that, like, we like to do, you know, for our 6 days of performances.
Yeah.
And I think that it'll be, you know, it's exhausting. It always is. You know, live theater for six performances, but it'll be a lot of fun. And I'm really excited that the underclassmen will be able to have that, you know, especially the freshmen are going to have that experience their first year.
Yeah.
Because I think that's, you know, if we don't, it's not the end of the world. But if we do, then it's really, it's just so much fun. It is. I mean, that's why we all do it.
Right. Well, you kind of led into my last question I wanted to ask you again as well. But, you know, anytime I come in here to talk with you, it always strikes, and it's been, what, like 14 months at this point, but still remember, I'm always struck by the camaraderie that you all have. You know, you're such good friends and get along so well. I wanted to ask, is that different now that we're in this environment? Obviously, there's distancing, there's masks. Or is it maybe even a little bit stronger because
yeah.
you were deprived of it for so long and weren't sure that you were going to have this opportunity you know, those bonds are maybe even kind of stronger than you noticed?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that it was a little bit difficult at first because
sure.
the freshmen don't know us.
Right.
We canvassed a little last year and we're like, oh, you know, come to theater.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't get to do a lot of that. And
right.
we didn't really get to do in-person shows at the beginning of the year. So there was a disconnect, like
yeah.
what Tyson and Bree were talking about. There's a little bit of disconnect between the
sure.
underclassmen and the upperclassmen.
It's just been a face on the screen maybe. Or,
yeah.
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And like we've worked with them a little bit before because we did tech for the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
The high school students always come in and help, so
oh, okay.
we at least have that.
Yeah, cool.
But our troop, I like to say our troop has trust issues because we have had seven directors in our 4 years of high school.
Yes.
Right.
And we're so glad that Craig is here because
right.
he is also helping us create an environment that, you know, allows for growth and allows for us to
yeah.
kind of get close, care about each other. You know, and have that sense of camaraderie.
Right, yeah. And he's been, of those seven, he's been one of the more stable
consistent.
And kind of, yeah,
yeah,
one of those through lines. And he's always kind of been in the Canby theater scene,
yeah.
so
mm-hmm.
He's at that institutional as well. What about Ethan?
He's been a really gracious mentor, someone to have, and he's very stable and involved with so many aspects of our theater department, as well as our community, our adults, community theater, and so it's been a really, really important blessing, especially for now when in COVID things aren't certain, things
yeah.
aren't set, and so that's been a very blessed relief, as well as having Becky Stager as our music director.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I love working with her, and I love watching as she works with the actors and brings out the best out of them, the best noise for Queen music.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been so wonderful working with that. And for the company, working on the set of technicians, we have gotten along so well, and more so than other groups have in the past because we're kind of all survivors.
Yeah.
We all find unity. Hey, we were stuck in our house for what, like a year? We're stuck in our house and now we have this chance where we, all of us individually want to be here.
Yeah.
That's been the most, it's so beautiful to see that we all want to be there. Technicians, we want to do our work. We want to create the best experience for ourselves and
yeah.
for our community and for our staff
yeah.
and to show our administration that this is theater, this is the impact theater has on our community. And we're very excited to share that in whatever format we have, especially through live stream,
yeah.
where we can share with family members and people who are distant and to be COVID safe as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a cool way that you put it, that, you know, you didn't just sort of wind up here by default or whatnot.
Yeah.
You have all these hoops that you have to jump through and whatnot, and that kind of refines your desire, like just shows how much you really, this matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Becky Stager is amazing.
He's
great. Craig, he's fine. No, he talks about the Vikings too much,
we appreciate
but he's fine.
Craig.
He's fine. No, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much for being on the show today. I want to let you guys do a rock and roll scream as well. No, I'm just kidding. I do want to ask you, like we did with the actors, what you're most excited about with the performances
yeah.
coming up. So.
I am very excited to see what does Queen, like a rock concert, look like on stage.
Yeah.
How do actors, how do technicians create a live rock concert? And I'm so excited to see what the lighting, how people respond to the lighting, how we can, with the tools we have, create our best kind of like woohoo, like rock scene. I'm very excited for that. And I'm very excited for the message of the show, which is to stand out, to be different, and to embrace everything that makes you unique. I definitely love that. And I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
Hailing.
It is, I know.
Oh my gosh.
It's May 7th and it's hailing, so
yes.
Just like now.
Typical Oregon, I guess.
Yes. All right, so last word.
Well, I am the most excited about seeing the freshmen and the sophomores grow, because I think our freshmen and sophomores outnumber the upperclassmen at this point, which I am so surprised by, because I didn't think we'd get any underclassmen when, you know, we didn't get to like actually talk to them and bring them in.
Right.
It was all over Zoom.
Right.
So that just
you
the fact.
Be smaller.
Yeah, exactly. And just the fact that so many freshmen audition for the show gives me so much hope for this troupe, because, you know, every couple of years there's like a huge class. Mm-hmm. Last year's class was huge. Ours only has 9 people.
Yeah.
We're a small bunch.
We're a small bunch, and that's okay. But I'm super excited to see, you know, the future of this troupe, to come back and see their shows and what happens. Hopefully Craig will still be here.
Right. Yeah.
I think that with someone who is stable and consistent, our troupe, our program could grow a lot. Because, you know, our choir program has grown over the years to this like really, really impressive, group of people, fabulous group of people.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that our theater program can do the same, and I'm looking forward to watching it grow.
Yeah, awesome. We are too. Itavi, Kuso, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.